Long ago, in a poultry yard, one dull November morn, beneath a motherly soft wing, a little goose was born, who straightway peeped out of the shell to view the world beyond, longing at once to sally forth and paddle in the pond. "Oh, be not rash," her father said, a mild Socratic bird. Her mother begged her not to stray with many a warning word. But little Goosey was perverse and eagerly did cry, "I've got a lovely pair of wings, of course I ought to fly." In vain parental cacklings, in vain the cold skies frown. Ambitious Goosey tried to soar, but always tumbled down. The farmyard jeered at her attempts. The peacock screamed, "Oh fie! You're only a domestic goose, so don't pretend to fly." Great Cock-a-Doodle, from his perch, crowed daily, loud and clear, "Stay in the paddle, foolish bird, that is your proper sphere." The ducks and hens said one and all, in gossip by the pool, "Our children never play such pranks. My dear, that fowl's a fool." The owls came out and flew about, hooting above the rest. "No useful egg was ever hatched from transcendental nest." Good little goslings at their play and well-conducted chicks were taught to think poor Goosey's flights were naughty, ill-bred tricks. They were content to swim and scratch, and not at all inclined for any wild goose chase in search of something undefined. Hard times she had, as one may guess, that young aspiring bird, who still from every fall arose, saddened but undeterred. She knew she was no nightingale, yet spite of much abuse, she longed to help and cheer the world, although a plain grey goose. She could not sing, she could not fly, nor even walk with grace, and all the farmyard had declared a puddle was her place. But something stronger than herself would cry, "Go on, go on! Remember, though a humble fowl, you're cousin to a swan." So up and down poor Goosey went, a busy, hopeful bird, searched many wide, unfruitful fields, and many waters stirred. At length she came unto a stream, most fertile of all Niles, where tuneful birds might soar and sing among the leafy isles. Here did she build a little nest beside the water still, where that parental goose could rest unvexed by any bill. And here she paused to smooth her plumes, ruffled by many plagues, when suddenly arose the cry, "This goose lays golden eggs!" At once the farmyard was agog, the ducks began to quack, prim guinea fowls relenting called, "Come back, come back, come back!" Great Chanticleer was pleased to give a patronizing crow, and the contemptuous biddies clucked, "I wish my chicks did so." The peacocks spread their shining tails and cried in accents soft, "We want to know, you gifted one, come up and sit aloft." Wise owls awoke and gravely said, with proudly swelling breasts, "Rare birds have always been evoked from transcendental nests." News hunting turkeys from afar now ran with all thin legs to gobble facts and fictions of the goose with golden eggs. But best of all the little fowls still playing on the shore, soft downy chicks and goslings gay chirped out, "Dear goose, lay more." But Goosey all these weary years had toiled like any ant. And wearied out, she now replied, "My little dears, I can't. When I was starving, half this corn had been of vital use. Now I am surfeited with food, like any Strasbourg goose." So to escape too many friends, without uncivil strife, she ran to the Atlantic pond and paddled for her life. Soon up among the grand old Alps, she found two blessed things, the health she had so nearly lost, and rest for weary limbs. But still across the briny deep, couched in most friendly words, came prayers for letters, tales, or verse from literary birds. Whereat the renovated fowl, with grateful thanks profuse, took from her wing a quill and wrote this lay of a golden goose.